Okay, we're on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. And if you see where the lines get wide, because the Daf is shaped like an L, so go up towards the thinner lines, about, I would say, maybe about 8 lines up. Okay. You see where it says the Ebois Ema? Yeah, from the bottom of the page. I'm sorry, my mistake. Just forget what I just told you. That was for yesterday's shit. The Ebois Ema, it's about, I'd say, 12, 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. You see where the two dots are?
Yeah.
We're on Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, then? So if you recall, we were trying to find the source for the assumption that rechitza, that washing one's body, is called inui. In other words, if you deny yourself washing the body, that's inui. So now the Gemara is suggesting Ebois Sema, a second possibility as to what the source is. Back on Daf Ayin Vav, we had a first possibility. Ebois Sema, a second possibility. Rechitza de ikre inui. How do we know that rechitza is considered inui? It's afflicting the body to avoid washing. Minolan, how do we know this? Nehacha. We're going to derive it from the following pasuk. Dichsiv. Now this is in Malachim. Let me give you just a little bit of background here. The king, David HaMelech, had various sons, and a number of them wanted to take over the Malchus. In fact, some of them actually rebelled against David HaMelech because they wanted to usurp the kingship. And there was a Kohen by the name of Eviasar. And in the first rebellion, Eviasar supported the rebellion against David HaMelech. In the second rebellion, he supported David HaMelech. And we're going to soon see that this is relevant to deciding and defining Inui, because Eviasar, when the forces rose up against David HaMelech, and David was exiled at that point from Yerushalayim, and David was inflicted with all sorts of Inuyim, this fellow by the name of Eviasar, he suffered with David HaMelech. He went into Golus and he suffered the same Inui. So this is going to allow us to define exactly what constitutes Inui. So again, from the perspective of the first rebellion, that was, I think, his name was Adoniyahu, if I'm not mistaken, was the first rebellion, the first son.
Was it
No, that was the second one?
I think the first one was Avshalom.
Avshalom, sorry, you're right, Avshalom. So this fellow, Eviasar, supported Avshalom in the first rebellion, and therefore he deserved to die, to be put to death. But he did tshuva, and in the second rebellion of Adoniyahu, he supported David against Adoniyahu. I think that was the case. Yeah, I haven't learned Tanakh in a while.
This is the other way, and just in the Irish
one. Oh, what does it say in the article? Which was the first one? Was Adoniyahu was the first one?
He supports Adoniyahu in the footnote.
Right, but which was the first rebellion?
Adoniyahu, I think, was first.
In the rebellion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, he supports Adoniyahu.
All right. In any event, he supports Adoniyahu and he's chayiv misa because of Moreh B'Malchus. Correct? But then he supports David HaMelech in the second rebellion.
Actually,
Avshalom. So he supports David against Avshalom. Okay. Let's leave it at that. So what does Shlomo HaMelech say to Eviasar? He says, well, Eviasar HaKohen Amar HaMelech, now Shlomo is taking over the kingship, he's one of the youngest sons of David HaMelech, and he says, Anasos Lech Al Sadecha. In other words, go back to a place called Anasos. That's the birthplace of Eviasar. Correct? Ki Ish Maves Ato, because you deserve to die because of your support of Adoniyahu in his rebellion against David HaMelech. Ubayom hazeh lo amisecha. But in fact, I'm going to stave off your judgment for death as a rebellious person because of your merit. What merit do you have? Ki nasas Es Aron Adoni Elokim Ha'ado, again with a comma, Noi Elokim Lifnei David Avi, because when Avshalom rose up against David HaMelech, you supported David, and you brought the, you know, as the Kohen, you brought the Aron in front of David. And not only that, and this is the punchline for our sugya, V'chi his anisa b'chol asher his ana avi. In other words, when David HaMelech was running, was fleeing from Avshalom, and he left Yerushalayim, at that point, David HaMelech was subject to all sorts of terrible inuyim, because again, he was on the, you know, he's on the run. And not only that, but Avyasar, to what extent did he identify with David, that he too suffered all those inuyim? So once we know exactly what David HaMelech was suffering from, then since Shlomo turned to Avyasar and he said that your judgment will be staved because you also went through Inui, then we know that whatever David was suffering, whatever he denied himself, all the pleasures that he denied himself is classified as Inui. So let's now analyze, what did David suffer? What inflictions did David suffer? Uksiv bei David, and what does it say regarding David when he was running from Yerushalayim? It says ki amru ha'am ra'ev v'ayef v'tzamei b'amidbar. Now, offhand, these three categories refer to eating and drinking. There's no mention here or any remez here of rechitza. The Gemara says the following: ra'ev milechem, he didn't eat, he was hungry from eating food. Tzamei mimayim, he didn't drink anything. So what is ayef? What is it referring to? It couldn't be referring to the weakness from not eating or drinking, because those were already specified in the pasuk. Lav mirechitza. The Gemara asks a rhetorical question. It must be that he was completely exhausted. He was fatigued, if you will. Ayef is fatigue, because he was not able to wash his body.
He's running away.
Yeah, I remember. I'm going back literally 40 years. Oh, close to 40 years, 38 years. And I remember my students in the yeshiva I taught in, Malad Humim, they were fighting in the war, and they were stationed in the war for about 6 months. And they couldn't wash themselves. They could, like, the thing that they desired more than anything was just a shower. I mean, it's an amazing kind of thing. The Gemara says in the Dharam that you could go insane from the lack of a shower, of washing yourself. The Gemara has a question. There are two cities. One city doesn't have water to drink. The other city doesn't have water to wash themselves, but they have enough water to drink. And now you find water. Which city do you give it to? And the Machlok is Tanoim, but according to one Tani, you give it to the city that doesn't have water to wash themselves. Because insanity is considered like pikuach nefesh. I mean, again, there are details in the sugi I'm not going into. The Tzibbi Malajan has a whole shot on the sugi. But in any event, you see that David HaMelech was inflicted because he couldn't wash. So you see that Minias Rechitza Nikreis Inui. That's the bottom line here in this whole sugya. Again, it's a little bit strange that when the Tanakh wants to describe this as Inui, it uses the word Ayev. But on the other hand, it says, you know, back in Shlomo Melch, it says, V'chi his anisa b'chol asher z'ana ovid. So it must mean that Ayev is Inui. But the Gemara is not happy about this. V'dilma Minias Asandol. Maybe the fatigue that David suffered is because he didn't wear shoes on his feet. He was running barefoot.
Why would he do that for?
Because again, he ran out of the city. You know, he took whatever he took. Maybe his shoes got ruined on the way. Ella Amar Av Yitzchak, I'm going to bring you a different pasuk, and this pasuk is also going to prove that David HaMelech, when he suffered inui and he was ayef, he was fatigued, it was because of lack of washing, not because of lack of shoes. Because the pasuk says, Mayim Karim Al Nefesh Ayefa. I believe this is Mishle. I don't know. Let's see. Does he tell you where it is? No, Mishle. Just by the sound of it. So what is it? It says here, Mayim Karim, even cold water will be very appreciated by a fatigued soul. Now, what are we talking about here? Mayim Karim for drinking, or Mayim Karim for washing? And the Gemara thinks that since we want to go back to the word Ayef by David HaMelech, and it already said that he didn't drink in the beginning of the pasuk, then the Ayef must be water for washing. So the Gemara says, V'dilma Mishasiya. Maybe what this pasuk is telling me is that this Ayefut, if you don't drink, and as a person who's thirsty, he's overwhelmed by thirst, he needs Mayim Karim for drinking, he's in the state of Ayefus, but it doesn't prove that Ayefus is engendered by the lack of washing. So the Gemara says, Mik Siv, does it say in the pasuk, Bin Nefesh Ayefa? The word, the letter Beis is omitted. If it would have said Mayim Karim Bin Nefesh, means internal, it means inside the Nefesh, it's drunk, and it goes in the body, that would be Shtia. But Al Nefesh Ayefa means external, on the outside of the body, it must be referring to washing. And if washing in this context is called Ayefa, then we go back to David HaMelech, and the word Ayef in David HaMelech means because he didn't wash. And then we go back to the pasuk of Shlomo, who's addressing Eviasar and saying that that was called Inui because you participated in the Inui of David HaMelech in order to identify him with him in the uprising of Avshalom. So that seems to be the final conclusion, and the Gemara therefore is happy and satisfied with finding a source for rechitza equals inui, meaning himanus mirechitza equals inui. Unilas asano minola, how do we know that taking off your shoes and going barefoot is called inui? So the answer is, let's go back to David HaMelech, again in that same episode where he's running away from Avshalom, and it says, d'chsiv v'David ole b'mayle hazesim ole uboche v'roshlo chafui v'hu holech yachef. So David HaMelech is going barefoot. That's the word yachef. To this day, even in modern Hebrew, am I right, Zev? Yachef means he's barefoot. But you know, when it comes to the Gemara and Tanakh, what we use is not necessarily the right types in the word. So the Gemara says, Yachef mi mai. Lav minilas asandol. Doesn't it mean that when he ran away from Avshalom, he was barefoot? Okay? That was the inui that he suffered. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Vidilma, maybe the word Yachef could be reinterpreted. Misusya umiritaka. In other words, David HaMelech was generally riding on horses, and the rechev means a chariot. So maybe in this state of being a fugitive, he wasn't able to do what a king would do and ride a chariot, and therefore the pasuk used the word yachef. It's like he's barefoot. Now, for you and I, barefoot means we don't have shoes on. For the king, to be barefoot means he doesn't have the horse that he rides on or the chariot that leads him. Elomar of Nachbar Yisku, we need to find another source to prove that Nilas HaSandal is Inui Mehacha. And now it's fast forwarding to Yeshaya Navi. Lech upitachta hasak me'al basnecha v'na'alcha tachlots me'al raglecha. Okay, so he tells him to take his shoes off. This is all symbolic of the avelus for the churban that's going to take place. Uksivan immediately says afterwards, Vayaskein haloch arom v'yachef. And he did that. So you see that the word yachef is a kium, so to speak. It implements what the Navi told him of Nalcha Tachlots Me'al Raglecha. If that be the case, then we have to define the word Yachef as barefoot. Yachef Mimai Lav Minilas Asandal. In other words, here you can't say that the word Yachef refers to taking away the chariots and the horses, because we're not talking about a king, and therefore it doesn't make sense. That by definition, the word Yachef there, therefore, must be a reference to taking off a sandal. The aim of the Gemara says maybe he did wear shoes, and in the case of Yeshayahu Hanavi, he's telling him not to take off his shoes, but bin ne'olim, min olim, excuse me, ha-mitulon. Mitulon means they're full of holes. These are holy shoes. They're tattered shoes. The Elo Tema Hachi, it says in the Pasuk, Aram V'yav Yachef, and Aram, if you take it literally, means what? Naked. Aram Mamish? Does it mean he actually took off his clothes and he walked naked? That's impossible. You're not allowed to do that. Ella, but rather we have to assume that bibgadim bluyim means walk around as if you're naked with old tattered clothes. Is hachanami here to the word yachef is bimin olim amituloyim, and therefore this cannot be a source to prove that the word yachef means shoeless. Maybe it means wearing tattered shoes. He has a footnote. He says that this tzivui of ne'alecha tachlots me'al raglecha, and then it says vayaskein, it must mean that when it says he was yachef, he took off his shoes. Does anyone happen to have, this is pasuk in Yeshayo HaNavi, am I correct? Let's see if he tells you if it's in Yeshayo HaNavi. Yeah, Yeshayo Beis, Perek Beis. We don't have a Tanakh here, do we? All right, it's not. I don't want to. You have a Yeshayo? Okay. Do me a favor, if you don't mind. Open up to Yeshayo Beis Beis. I just want to get a little bit of the background here. I seem to recall what was going on there, but I'm not sure. Avi, does he give you any background here?
No.
Which
Yeshayo? Yeshayo, the second chapter, the second pasuk. I'm pretty sure he was. Second Lamed Tes. Maybe he says something here. No. Where is it? Did I give you the wrong parak? Yeah, I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong parak.
It's my glasses, though.
Yeah. Okay. Just 1 second. Yeah. Lech upitachta Yisrael. Chaf, you're right. It's too small for my eyes, which means I'm up for a new pair of glasses. Chaf, pasuk bet. So go back to maybe to pasuk aleph, and just to get some of the background here. I think this is Yeshayo foretelling the destruction of the temple. I hope I'm not misleading you about that. I just wanted to be sure.
Chaf pasuk bet. In this verse, Yeshayo is commanded to remove his clothing and shoes to demonstrate how the captives of Mitzrayim and Cush will be led naked and barefoot by Ashur.
Oh.
So here says, "Bishnat bo tartan ashdoda bishlachoto sargon melech shur yalachem ba'ashdod v'yukadot." Okay, the next passage. Beit Ahid yiber Hashem biyad Yeshayahu ben Amoz leimo lech upitachta sach me'al masnecha.
Right. Okay, that's enough. Let's not. Basically, again, the Navi is being commanded to go barefoot as some sort of a symbolism of what's going to happen to the captives taken by Ashur. Is it correct? By Assyria. Okay, fine. So again, we're not learning Tanakh now, but obviously we would have to go through the whole parsha here. So then, El Amar of Nachbar Yitzchak. I have another proof that the word Yachef means barefoot. Mehacha from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Hanavi. And here I think it says Perek Beis. Okay, let's see if I see it.
Yeah.
Okay, Perek Beis. And what does it say in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu Hanavi? It says Mini Raglech Miyachef Ugronech Mitzima, which means that you should enjoin your feet from wearing shoes. That's what the Gemara thinks at the beginning. Ugronech mitzim'a, and your throat from thirst. Okay. So what is the Navi telling the Jewish people in this case? What is Yirmiyahu telling him? So the Gemara says the following. You know, the Churban is about to take place. Yirmiyahu is the Navi of the Churban. Min i'atzmech min chet. You're about to go into Golis, and your situation in Golis is going to be pretty bad, pretty pathetic. But if you at least do tshuva now, then when you go into Golis, kadesh lo yavo raglech lidei yichuf. At the end of the day, if you don't do tshuva, you're going to be sent into Golis barefoot. And what does it mean when it says ugronech mitzim'a? Says Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. The deeper symbolism here is min'i lishonech midvarim b'teilim. Don't waste your time with silly, frivolous things. Kadesh lo yavo gronech lidei tzim'a. In other words, one of the two most pathetic experiences in Golus is going barefoot. you know, I'm imagining like the death march, you know, at the end of, you know, when the Nazis, Mashmom, destroyed Hungarian Jewry. It was already in 45, and the Nazis already was, so they forced them to go barefoot. Or some of them had something over their feet, but they marched through the snow. And of course, the worst experience of any Churban, and certainly in the Holocaust, which was Tzima, is thirst. So Yirmiyahu says, look, you're going to Golos no matter what, but at least try to minimize the damage here so that you'll have shoes to wear and you'll have some access to drink. So this is the final conclusion here. The Gemara in Rav Nachbar Yitzhak accepts, based on this Pasuk Yirmiyahu, that Yachef actually means without shoes, and that is considered inui when you go without shoes. I don't know, Rabbi Osei, if you had the same experience. When I was brought up as a child, my parents were very mocked, especially my father, when I went barefoot. Because he felt it was symbolic of avelus. Yeah.
Yes.
It was almost like a spook, you know, like it was an eye in horror. Did you have that same experience?
In the house.
Yeah, I never passed it on to my children. But
my friend's house had it.
Inside the house.
Even inside the house.
It's a similar availus to go inside.
Yeah, again, you know, it's not that my father yelled at me every time I took off my shoes. I don't want to make it extreme. But if I would, you know, run around the house barefoot, it wasn't that reason. It was because of my health, you know. I think so. I don't know. Okay. Tashmash Amita de Ikri Inu Minolan. How do we know that relations is called Inu? The Chsiv, it says that Lavan had a discussion with Yaakov Avinu, and he's trying to get Yaakov Avinu to take an oath. And what does it say here? And we're about to turn to Ayin Zayin Amud Beis. Says the Chsiv, it says Imtana es benosai v'imtikach noshin. So Lavan is not interested in Yaakov Avinu taking other wives. That's in Tikach Noshim. You know, you have enough wives as it is. But the ratio of the pasuk is what intrigues us. What does it mean, Imtana Espinosa, you will inflict my daughters? The meaning, Rachel and Leah. So the Gemara says here in Amud Beis that Imtana Mitashmish. You know, if you take too many wives, then you won't be able to, you know, fulfill your conjugal, I didn't pronounce that right,
conjugal
duties to my daughters, your two wives. V'imtikach mitzaros. So what does it mean at the end of the pasuk when it says v'imtikach noshim? It means if you'll take other wives, that is called tzaros, right? So Gemara says v'eva idi mitzaros. Maybe the Torah in the Sefer of this pasuk is qualifying the ratio. In Tanes Benosai, what will be the infliction on my children? Because Tikach Noshim, because they don't want to have to share you with other wives. So it means in both cases, the words Vim Tikach are interpreting the Inui, in Tikach you'll take other women, other wives, then that itself is an Inui. There's no reference here, says the Gemara, to Tashramita, either v'idi mitzaros. Both the beginning of the pasuk and the end, they're talking about taking other wives. So the Gemara says that there's a problem here, because if you can accept that the Sefer is embellishing or interpreting the Reisha, then the Vav of the Im Tikach Noshim is totally out of place, because Vav here means O. This is what we call a Vav HaMachalik. So miksiv im tikach, if the Torah, if Lavan's intention was that your inui to my daughters will be because you'll take other wives, then it should have said im tikach, right? Don't be ma'ana my daughters by taking im tikach if you'll take other wives. But the im tikach sounds like the vav is being mechak, is separating him into two warnings, and the first warning of inui is a reference to minias tashmish amita, which might mean that even if he doesn't take other wives, he might be ma'ana his wives if he denies them tashamita. The aim of the Gemara is still not happy with it. Perhaps we could suggest idi ve'idi mitzaros. The Reisha and the Sefer are both warning Yaakov Avinu not to take other wives. And why is there a vav that separates the Reisha from the Sefer? Because there are two categories of taking other wives. Chad, one is litzaros didei. In other words, Yaakov Avinu already has two other wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. And the fear of Lavan is that Bilhah and Zilpah will be upgraded to the status of Noshim. They'll be treated like wives, not like what we call Pilagshon. And number two, he wants not to take women, additional women that he's not married to. So the Gemara wants to support this new pshat that there are two categories of tzoros. Dumya di imtikach. No, just the opposite. I'm sorry. So the Gemara, I think the Gemara is answering that that's not a valid pshat. Why? Dumya di imtikach. No, that's still part of the kasha. Okay, I'm just going back and forth. Sorry. So dumya di imtikach. In other words, in the resha, like the sefer, we're talking about imtikach. The problem is taking other wives. So Gemara says, Miksiv, if you're right that there are two categories, the wives that he already has and the wives that he will take, then imtikach v'im ta'ana, it should have said imtikach first, that should have come in the ratio, which means he marries other women, and then v'im ta'ana, and I don't even want you, that's the chiddush, I don't even want you to treat the wives that you already have, the extra wives, being Bila Zilpah, as if they were your wives. And then it would be clear that the imtana would be an extension of imtikach. You know, your chiddush is that imtana means by treating Bila and Zilpah in a very high upscale way. First tell me the simple pshat of imtikach, and then the imtikach will set the pattern to understand what imtana means. So the Gemara answers, imtana v'im tikach siv. So again, miksiv imtikach v'imtana, your pshat cannot be right because it doesn't say imtikach first. What does it say? Imtana v'im tikach siv. Now let me read to you his Hebrew translation. He says, v'kev anshit tzoros zoros, kashos lehem min arishonos. It's even worse if he flagrantly violates this promise and he, Yaakov Avinu, would take new wives. So the more difficult violation here of the honor of Rachel and Leah would be if he married wives from the outside. Hoyelo, therefore, it should have said, Kodem Lazira Lazaros. He should have warned him not to do this terrible thing and take other wives. And that's the Imtikach in the Sefer. He should have started with that in the Reshvi Acharkach. And then he should have said something about Imtana Espinosa, meaning a reference to Bila Vizilpa. Ain't derech b'neyodim lahazir ala kal t'chila, but rather ala chomer t'chila, ala kosher t'chila. Did you follow that? So again, in the logical sequence, first I give you an admonition that you shouldn't do something that's very severe, which would mean to take other wives, and then I tell you, and I don't even want you to treat these wives that you already have on the same level as my wives. And that seems to be the opinion of the Gemara at this point, that we do have a valid source for Inu. For Tashmamita as Inu, yeah. Omale Rav Popola Baye. Hatashmish Gufa Ikri Inui. I have a different source, an alternative source, to prove to you and establish the Tashmish Gufa Inuyu. Dichsiv, it says by Shechem in the case of Dina. Vayishkav osa vayaaneha. And this piece of Gemara confuses me because I always thought vayaaneha means a different kind of beer. But anyway, the Gemara is going to say something else. What is vayishkav osa vayaaneha? Amalei hasam she'ina mi bios acheros. Okay, so let me start again. Rav Papa asks the following question to Abaye. Hatashmish gufa ikri inui? Question mark. Is the minias tashmish called inui? No. Tashmish gufa ikri inui. That the Torah used the word inui to refer to having tashmish, not to denying tashmish. Because it says vayishka vosa vayanel. That by having relations with Dina, he, Shechem, was ma'anahar. Chamor ben Shechem, right?
This was rape, but wasn't it normal?
Right, but in any event, the word inui is referring to tashmish. And you're telling me that minias tashmish is an inui. And based on this question of Rav Popol Abaye, the Gemara now, Rabbi is going to reinterpret vayaneha, We thought Vayanez through the Tashmish, Amalei Hasam She'ina Mibios Acheros, meaning he did not perform other bios with her. So he denied her bios. And as a result of denying her bios, it's almost as if she got used to bia. He defiled her, and she expected again a bia, and he denied her that tashmish. That itself is called inui.
That's wild.
I was taught differently. Does anybody have a? Do me a favor, Zev. Open Rashi up this pasuk. Doesn't Rashi say shalok kedarka? Yeah. So I don't know this Gemara. Let's just see.
That's the interpretation.
He says in the bottom. Listen to this. That this is Rashi's pshat, but the Ritva says that ina mibios acheres heinish ba aleha shalok kedarka. So the Ritva is bothered by our question. It doesn't mean that he was ma'anah by denying her beer, but he had beer shalok kedarka. V'tash b'shalok kedarka avi inui, aval kedarka lo mikri inui. If he had beer without kedarka, the way Rashi interpreted it, would not be called an inui. V'ein lahakshus dim kei nefarish kam inui v'yom ha-kipur v'beer shalok kedarka. If you're defining tashmish as anything but inui, but you're telling me that tashmish shalokidarka is inui, then maybe when we come to Yom Kippur we should prohibit bia shalokidarka. He says the mistoma ain't a mikra medaber be ofen she'eno shkiach. When the Torah says v'inisim es nafshol seichem, it's not talking about something that's unusual.
I don't think it's just what she had dina here. I mean, why would she feel bad or?
So that's what Rashi says. Look at the Rashi Shalom. He says, Shahaisa misavalo. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Ksubis that if a married woman is raped, Rahman al-Itzlan, she's allowed to go back to her husband, except for Kohen. But so the Gemara says, but what happens if in the middle of the bia she has ratzon, right? Onus means that she doesn't want to have the bia, but halfway through the bia she has ratzon. So the Gemara says yitzra albasha, that the Eitz Hara gets the best of her. It's a very difficult Gemara to psychologically digest, but anyway, that's the Gemara is working with that psychology, that even in the case of a rape, a woman may at some point switch channels and get some pleasure from it.
But here it's saying she wanted more than one time.
That's right. That somehow this experience for this young maiden was so powerful and so impacted her. Rashi says, "Hayu misavalo." She wanted more beer.
She wasn't a prisoner then.
Velo ba'aleha. And he refused to have beer with her. So that's called inu. Again, Shalom, I'm just telling you, the Ritva learns it, that it was beer shalok kedarka, the way we were taught as children, when
what's
we learned.
What
do you say?
What's a bayis teres then, according to
the Ritva? So according to the Ritva, bayis saying that vayanea means by denying her tashmish. That's Rashi. According to the Ritva, it's vayanea meaning by having beer shalok kedarka. So you see that beer is called inu. That the word inu is a reference to beer. And therefore, we could say that when the Torah says v'nisim es nafshol seichem, it's a reference to bia. Now you might say, if it's a reference to bia, maybe limited to just bia shelo kedarka, and that's what the Ritva says, that the Torah is talking about something shchiyah. Tana Rabbanan, asur lirchotz miktas gufo kekol gufo. The Isur Chitza with regard to Yom Kippur refers and includes even miktas gufo. However, im hayam luchlach betit ubitzoef, he's taking filth off his body. He's not doing it for the sake of what? Of tainug of pleasure. Rochets kedarko v'eino choshesh. He's allowed to wash and take off this filth, and he doesn't have to be worried about it. He says that even according to the Shitas HaRambam, that all the Inuyim are Da'oraisa, and there are other Rishonim who support the Rambam, nevertheless, the Torah didn't say it explicitly, and therefore the Torah authorized the Chachamim to determine when the Isur Da'oraisa of Inuy applies and when it does not, and then the Chachamim defined it as an Isur of Tainug, but if it's not done L'shem Tainug, then it's okay. Then it's mutter. And therefore the Braisa continues by saying that even though it's asur lasuch miktas gufo kekol gufo mayacholot shayachatotim berosho isach kedarko v'yeno choshesh, that although sicha which is one of the five categories of inui, is prohibited even b'miktsas gufo. So you can't smear oil on your fingers. But nevertheless, if you're doing it for other reasons, not l'shem tainug, for example, you're a chole, or he's got scabs on his head, is then sach kidako v'eino choshesh. He has a whole discussion here on the bottom. How could you allow a chole to do sicha on Shabbos, or in this case, Yom Kippur? We have an iser of refuah on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's called Gzeir of Shchikas Samimonin. So he comes up with the following thesis, which he bases on the Meiri, that this is not called a refuah gmura. It's only ktsas refuah. It's enough to be mafkia tainug, but it's not enough to engender the iser refuah. And he says, furthermore, we might be talking about those kinds of oils that even a bari would normally use for sicha, and therefore the gzer of shchika samanam doesn't apply. Shchika samanam only applies when you do a maisa refuah that's nikar. It's clear to the observer that you're doing it for health purposes. But if you're doing something which even a healthy person would do, that's not called refuah. He says, even though nobody goes around anointing themselves with oil on Yom Kippur, that's an Iser Inui, so therefore why is he doing it? It must be L'shem Refuah. So that itself should indicate that it's clear as a Maaser Refuah should come under the Gzeira of Shchika Samimonin. So he quotes the Rashash. The Rashash says, Mikol Makom, Kevon Shebishabis Mutal Losuf Bazeh. In other words, the gzera of shchika, someone of refuah on Shabbos, was made on Shabbos, not on Yom Kippur. So even though on Yom Kippur it becomes nikar, but this case was not included in the original gzera, is therefore even on Yom Kippur it's mutar. Did you catch that? So again, the Rashash's chiddush is that I don't look at every single case and every single yontif unto itself and ask myself, well, is it nikar? And here the sicha itself in this case would be nikar the serfuv, because otherwise why is he doing the sicha on Yom Kippur? Nevertheless, I have to pattern myself in this Iser Refuah after Shabbos. And since in Shabbos, it would not be clear that he's doing it for the sake of Refuah, because Sicha is Mutar on Shabbos. Therefore, it wasn't included in the original Gzeira.
Sicha is Mutar on Shabbos?
No, Sicha is Mutar on Shabbos, for sure. The Sicha is only an Iser Inui on Yom Kippur, because we Nisim is Nafshel Secha.
So you can't rub on your body.
Just. Well, there is mamachik, if that's what you mean. These are mamachik.
Putting on a cream on your body.
So again, you have to know if it dissolves, if it doesn't dissolve. By the way, he quotes the Aruch. The Aruch translates the word chatotim. He calls it ababuos. Ababuos are boils, I think. Did you ever hear the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a woman is so eager to get married, she'll even marry a mukashchin? You know, tavul meitan tandu leisav avul. A mukashchin is somebody who has ababuos on his body. Even that she... Again, I suppose if she could do better, you know, she wouldn't settle for second best. But. All right, vaita. Tana debei Menashe. There's a brisa that's brought down by the school of Menashe. This is not Menashe, the son of Yosef. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Midicha Isha, a woman is allowed to wash on Yom HaKippurim, Yoda Achas B'mayim, one hand in the water, in order to fulfill, again, the question is why he's referring to a woman, but in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Negelvasa, what we call it. But maybe the Brisa is addressing even a man, but the Brisa wants to talk in the Hemshech, in the next part, about cases that are unique and typical of Noshim. So the Mishnah, the Brisa says, V'nosenes pas litinok, and since she's feeding her child, and she wants to get rid of what's called the Ruach Ra, which is why we wash Negelvasa. I mean, there are a number of different reasons in Rishitos about Negelvasa, but let's assume the Shita is to remove Ruach Ra, because when you sleep at night, it's 1/60th of death, so there's a Ruach Ra that hovers over you. Now, she shouldn't be touching food and feeding her baby with the hands that have Ruach Ra. So therefore, she's going to do it in a very unusual way.
It's interesting, the Russian.
Yeah, there's a long Rashi here, am I right? Madichas yod lefi, sheruach ra, oh no, the...
Shorah lechem.
Oh, shorah al lechem, yeah. Al-kach b'yadayim, shalom, not lon shachris.
What he's saying is, it's not that the fact that the ruach ra is on the hands, it's on the...
No, I think what he means is that by contagion, the ruach ra... You know, just one second. Maybe you're right. I didn't read it like that. Just give me one second. Lefisha ruach ra'ash shora al halechem and milkach biadayim. Oh no! I think my pshat is correct. He's saying that we're not so worried about her hands having the ruach ra'. What we're really worrying about is that when she touches the lechem, which she's going to feed to our baby, then the ruach ra will be shor al lechem. Yes. And why on this lechem? Because it's nilkach biyodayim shelo not one shachas. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right, Zev. It's a strange formulation. I would have switched the order around. I would have said kevan delokcha biyodayim shelo not one shachas is shor ruach ra al lechem. You know, Rashi inverts it, but I think he means that the problem here with the lechem is the reason why we're trying to guarantee that she has a method of rechitza that's permissible. Amar lav al shamay azokein shelo rotzo lahachil biyodo achas. It's interesting that Shamay azokein was so careful about the isur rechitza that he didn't want to use this permissibility of washing one hand to remove ruach ra. Again, the question is how did Shamay HaZaken feed his children on Yom Kippur? Did he not give them food? And who is this someone else? A non-Jew? Let me just see if he raises this question. Just, I'll be right with you. I just want to see if I can figure this out myself, Evan, and then you'll tell me what the Siach Yitzchak says. Yeah, no, it's okay. So he says the following here. I'm just wondering if he addresses my question here. So what did Shamay HaZaken do for his children? Wow. So according to this pshat, which he quotes in the name of the Ritva, his chshash was not about rechitza on Yom Kippur, but his chshash was about ruach ra. He felt that if you only wash one hand, it would be a sakonas ruach ra. Therefore, the chachamim allowed him to be rochets with two yadayim, not just one. So obviously, we are feeding the children. It's not that Shamay HaZaken didn't feed his children. On the contrary, since he was afraid of ruach ra, they permitted him to wash both his hands. He says in the name of Rashi and Chulin on Daf Kuf Zayin, Devadai Shamay Atzmo lo haya machil etinok lo netila sharei chamira sakanta miyisura. This is probably what you have in mind, Evan, that the reason why Shamay HaZaken was so careful about not feeding his children without netila is because even though he would have to find some sort of heter and override Yom Kippur for the sake of the tinok, but we have a principle called chamira sakanta miyisura. We have to be more careful about sakana than we do about Isur. There's a third pshat here in the name of Rabbeinu Eliyakim that hayam achilo below netilas yadayim, that actually he fed them without washing his hands, meaning he was more machmir about Yom Kippur than he was about sakana. Or maybe he held it wasn't such sakana because since on Yom Kippur, maybe according to the Rabbeinu Eliyakim, the ruach ra is a result of yachiv netila, but when the Torah suspends or alleviates you of netila, then there is no ruach ra.
Perhaps he stayed up all night and there was never ruach ra shorah.
Right, he was learning the whole night, or maybe he was practicing, you know, how to teach the Kohen Gadol, you know, to do the avoda. The gazru olav lahachil b'shtei yadayim. And the Chachamim insisted that he should wash both his hands so that he could feed the child with both his hands and not be afraid of feeding the child with one washed hand and then maybe accidentally, you know, feeding the child with the other hand that has the Ruach Tumah. And it was very important for the Chachamim to force Shamay HaZaken's hands in the plural. Why? Because they wanted to emphasize that it's a mitzvah l'shma b'kol chachamim. And if the chacham say that you're allowed to wash your hand, then you're allowed to wash your hand and not worry about the second hand. My timer. And why is it impossible to feed a child without washing your hands? Amar Abaye mishum shivsa. That was the word I think that Rashi quoted. Remember at the end of the Rashi Madichas Yada, that's the name of the shade that brings the ruach ra. So what time did we start? At 11?
Yeah.
So we can go till 12?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do I think we skipped something?
We didn't.
We didn't?
No.
So we finished the Gemara yesterday about Dubiel, right? The whole story about Yavon and Paras.
On Tuesday,
I mean? Okay, so we didn't skip that. And Gavriel, for sure we did. All right, so we're not, we're okay then. All right, good. I thought we skipped something, and all of a sudden, like... Right. That's for sure. All right. Tanur Rabbanan. Haholech lahagbil pnei aviv o pnei rabo o pnei misha gadal mimenu, someone who's greater than him in chachma, in Torah, and he's got to cross a river. And crossing a river is a twofold issue. On the one hand, it's an issue of rechitza on Yom HaKippurim, and on the other hand, it's an issue of sakana. There are strict laws about crossing a river, how far you and how deep you can go. So the Braisa establishes over ad savaro b'mayim, the Eino Choshesh, meaning that he's not concerned about the Isur Rechitza. It means that this is not called Rechitza, because this is an act of what? Of Kvod Chachamim. And Kvod Chachamim is not considered Tainuk. It's considered Kvod Chachamim. It takes on a different complexion. Now, you might ask me the question, Vusepis, why on Yom Kippur is he doing this? And the answer, I believe, is because Chayev Odom Lahakbil's Pnei Rabu Beregel. And Regel means Yontif, and Yom Kippur is a Yontif.
Is that why we're going?
It's not a regel, but it's a yontif. And I think the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, if you have a Hilchos Talmud Torah here, the Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Talmud Torah says that you have to be makbil pnei rabo even on a yontif, on any yontif. That's what I would say. But the truth is that my pshat is a little difficult because it says, O pnei misha gadol bimena b'chachma. I don't know that on yontif you have to visit a scholar who's superior to you. That I don't know. If it would just say Laku Pnei Rabo, yes. Pnei Aviv also is a cash on my pshat. So I guess I'll have to throw my pshat out. I thought it was a pretty good pshat. But Pnei Aviv, I don't see why there's a mitzvah on Yontif. I mean, there's Kovet Aviv, keep it up. Iboilahu. The Gemara now has a suffix based on this brisa, Harav Eitzel Talmud. What if the Rav decides to visit his Talmud, and on the way he gets into a river? There's a river that's blocking his way. My. So the Gemara now is going to tell a story. Toshma. You see, there's something very strange going on over here. If my pshat is not correct, so why does Gemara have a suffix about a Rav visiting the Talmud? It means, if my pshat is not correct, then basically we're talking about any mitzvah, whether it's Kibbud Av, it's not a special halacha of Regel. And in the case of Gadol Bimenu B'Chachma, so we're talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or Kavadat Torah. So if Kavadat Torah is enough to define this going into the river as anything but Tainug, then Kolshkein, teaching Torah, is not called Tainug. So I don't chap. You see, if we would have said that it's this Chayav Odom Lahakbil Pnei Rabo Beregel, and we extend that to Yom Kippur, so then I could understand the Gemara's Safek. You know, there's no Chiyuv on the Rav to visit his Talmud. But if we're talking about the mitzvah aspect, as you said, Avi, before, that it's not Shal Tainig, it's Shal Mitzvah, so what difference does it make whether the Talmud is going to the Rav or the Rav is going to the Talmud? I mean, in both cases, it's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
But it's a double thing.
What do you say?
The extra element, the talent goes to a rabbi, it's getting kavod, the mitzvah itself.
No, but I'm just saying, the mitzvah Talmud Torah itself is not enough to define this halicha as a halicha shal mitzvah. I go to teach Torah. You know, every morning I wake up in Har Nof and I take a car to the Emek Learning Center, and hopefully I'm teaching Torah. Hopefully. So, what are you going to say? That's not a mitzvah? I mean, Talmud Torah is you know, shokul keneged kulam. It's the greatest mitzvah that we have. But I think, I'll tell you what I think is going on here. What the Gemara is doubting, is questioning, is the halicha itself. There's no doubt that teaching Torah is a great mitzvah. But what's the status of halicha of going to teach Torah?
It's through a river though, right?
Right, in other words, he has to cross the river in order to teach Torah. He's not teaching Torah by crossing the river. Crossing the river makes it feasible. Shall we say it's a prerequisite? It's a means to an end. So what status does the halicha have? You know, you're saying that the ends justify the means? I don't know. If the halicha is not halicha shal mitzvah, if you can't define the halicha as mitzvah, then it's halicha, then it's a rechitza shal tainu, because there are only two possible definitions. I need a positive redefinition of this halicha that would incorporate the going into the river and define it and as a different, under a different category, different character, in order to be mafkia rechitza shal mitzvah and rechitza shal tainu. It means all rechitzas asur unless proven otherwise. Everything's guilty until proven innocent. You have to redefine. So here I'm going to use, Shalom, what you said before. In the case of Holech Lahakbil Pnei Aviv, there is a Chiv Kibud. So Kibud means to do every effort to be Mechaved, my father, my Rebbe, or even someone who's greater than me, B'chachma. There the Halicha itself is not just a means to an end, it is an act of Kibud. It's like the Gemara at the beginning of the second Perek Kedushin says that Rava used to salt the fish on Erev Shabbos, and Rav Sheshis used to do this on Erev Shabbos, because Kvod Shabbos means the act of preparation. The act of preparation itself is the Gufa Shal Mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos, and therefore he would not send the Shliach. Mitzvah Ol Yosef Shliach. Here too, when there's an act of Kibud, then every necessary step is part of Kibud. Kibud is expansionary, and it includes the halicha, and therefore it redefines the lavar sanar when he's going through the river as a ma'aser mitzvah. However, in the case of a talmid who's going, of a rebbe who's going to a talmid, there the mitzvah is clearly what Talmud Torah, but not kavod. There's no chi of kavod vis-a-vis the talmid. On the contrary, the Talmud has to be mechaved the Rav, not vice versa. Therefore, the Gemara thinks that perhaps the halicha, insofar as it's only a means to an end, to make it accessible so that he can teach Torah, it still is halicha shel tainuk. It's not, you haven't redefined halicha and swallowed it up and classified it and defined it as a halicha shel mitzvah. It's halicha letzorech mitzvah. And it's fascinating to me that the Gemara does not address the case of, for example, a Moel who's on his way to a Bris Milah. And I'm not sure exactly what the din would be. You know, I don't know if it would be Doka Milah, but just conceptually, just in a theoretical world, maybe it's a Dover Pashut that if the Moel has to go through a river in order to do Milah, or for that matter, any mitzvah that I want to fulfill and I have to go through a river in order to get there, to relocate, I don't think that that would be mutar on Yom Kippur. Again, it could be Mila is different because Mila is Dolcha Shabbos, maybe it has a different level and there's no other Moel in town, fine. But give me an example, if anyone could think of an example, of going to a mitzvah. Okay, great. So let's say I'm on my way to synagogue. Would that halicha of lavar sadnar be included in this heter of shein mitzvah? I don't know. I would say the davening once I get to the shul is mitzvah, but I don't know if the going to the shul is a mitzvah. For example, this halacha proof to the Rav Yosef, right? I'm shaking out your lost item till I can return it to you, and the ani comes and asks for a pruta. So osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah. A person on his way to shul, and the ani comes and asks for a handout. Do I apply the principle of osik b'mitzvah, patur b'mitzvah? Maybe not. I think Zev Maya might have a case here because he's only being osik in the hechsher mitzvah. But in the case of Lekabel Pnei Rabo, where the mitzvah is kibud, there I would say the halicha itself is this haskus for mitzvah. And if an ani comes along, again, you have to know if it'll slow him down or not, but let's say it'll slow him down, then I would say he's potter, no worse than Hashavas Aveda, Pruta Rav Yosef. Because the halicha is gufa shel mitzvah. But let's say the Rav is on his way to teach Torah to his Talmidim, and while he's on his way, the Ani comes along and asks for a handout. Are we going to apply the principle of Osik Mitzvah Potmitz because he's on his way? Probably not. And therefore, the Gemara vacillates here as to whether or not he's allowed to go through a Nar on Yom Kippur. Toshma, let me tell you a story. I'll be right with you, Zev. I just want to see if what I said makes any sense. The Omer of Yitzhak Bar Chana, Anoch Azisei Lizeiri. I saw Zairi, the Ozil, Ligabei, Rav Chia, Bar Ashi, Talmide. Zairi, excuse me, was the Rebbe. And Rav Chia was his Talmid. This is not Rav Chia, the uncle of Rav, you know, Rav Chia the Tana. It just wouldn't make any historical sense because we're talking about Amoraim here. But in any event, so Zairi is going to visit his Talmud, Rav Chia Bar Ashi, and they went through water on the way. He's like, Muchach, we see from this that even a Rav who visits his Talmud is allowed to do it. Rav Ashi, Omar, he says there's no proof from there. Why not? Hahu Rav Chia Bar Ashi, hu di ozil, legavi di Zairi Rabbei. You got it wrong. It wasn't, in fact, Zairi who was visiting his Rebbe. I'm sorry, it wasn't Zairi the Rebbe who was visiting his Talmud Rav Chia, it was his Pumfaker, it was Rav Chia the Talmud who was visiting his Rebbe Zairi. You see, I have to be even didactic in a story. You know, this, my wife always has a tiny to me that when I tell the story, I don't give it up exactly with all the details. You know, I take literary license, yeah. And have you ever heard about a book called The Making of a Gadol by Rav Nosson Kamenetsky? It was a very controversial book. Anyway, if you ever want to read that book, that's Rav Yaakov's son, right. Rav Nosson.
Right. That's one of Polygraph stories, apparently.
Yeah, when he tells stories in that book, he'll tell it over and he'll tell you what color shirt the guy was wearing. And when you read it, you go absolutely berserk. Who cares what color shirt he is? But he wants to prove to you that he did his research, and what he's telling you is mamish edus. He's telling you a story that happened 100 years ago, exactly the way it happened. Anyway, so in any event, so the bottom line is that a Talmud visiting his Rebbe is allowed to go through the water on Yom Kippur. There's no resolution, at least at this point, to the question of a Rebbe visiting his Talmud. And that leads me back to my point before. What's the difference? In both cases, you're involved in a mitzvah. And I think the answer is that in the case of a Talmud who goes to his Rebbe, it's a chiv kavod, is the halicha itself is gufa shel mitzvah. And therefore, it's not a rechitza shel tiding when he goes to the river. In the case of a Rebbe going to his Talmud, it's true that he's on his way to be mekayim the mitzvah of what? Talmud Torah, but the halicha itself is nothing more than a heksher mitzvah. Therefore, the heksher mitzvah of halicha doesn't have that power to transform the lavar sanar, havarat hanar, into a mitzvahdika rechitza. It still remains a rechitza shel tainug. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here. Does anybody have a pencil? That's not, I'll do with a pen. Yeah, I just want to make a note of where we got to. Thanks. What's going to be if a man is on his way to protect his fruits on Yom Kippur? I don't know why he's allowed to do that on Yom Kippur.
What do you mean? Where?
No, I'm just saying. I'm taking a look at the next Gemara that we'll do next time. When do we get together again on Sesame Tuesday?
Why not Tuesday?
Tuesday. Okay, Bli Nedim. Yeah. Wednesday is Erev Yom Kippur. Are you Erev Rosh Hashanah?
No, we have a morning kol on Monday.
But Monday is here.
Yeah, no, I meant just for this leave. Yeah.
I think if we're over there together, this if the Mishnah Berurah and the framework is as long as it's not considered a chitzah shel ta'anug, it's a dav.
So maybe in this suffix we pass in lekul. Would you do me a favor, Zev, and take a minute to look that up? He'll tell you exactly what you tafresh yudalid, wherever it is.
Can we just have a Rambam and Tosfos it's tanug or not? We just went through a whole shiur on that. Whether the chitza tanug is also Yom Kippur winter.
Well, we spoke most of our time on Sicha, I remember. Now, in the case of Rechitza,
that last line in the Rabbeinu Tam. What's he talking about?
Sicha, I think. But we did touch on Rechitza as well, I think. Remember we were talking about the difference between Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Do you remember that discussion that we had? Maybe I have something here.
Where was that big crisis?
I have something here.
אסור לסוך אפילו מקצת גופו ואפילו איננו אלא להעביר הזרמה אבל אם הוא חולה אפילו אין בו סכנה או שיש לו חטטים בראשו מותר אסור לנעול הסנדל מנעל הסנדל של האור אפילו קו קמיע
can you fast forward to רחיצה?
רחיצה מותר החיה וכל יונדל מותרת לנעול הסנדל and then this is where it basically ends up with.
Wait, there should be a discussion about Rechitza.
I think it's in Rechitza. Etaf Reshut Gimel Sinif Hei Ha'olech Lebeit HaMidrash O Lekabel Pnei Aviv O Rabo O Mish Gadol Mimenu Bechokhma O Letzorchei Mitzvah Yachol Lavor Bamayim Ad Tzavro Ben Behalicha Ben Bechazara ובלבד שלא יוציא ידיו מתחת שפת חלוקו להשביע שולי החלוקו.
Does he mention the case of a Rav who's going to his Talmud?
Yeah, he says
no.
That he doesn't mention, but he says Ol Dvar Mitzvah.
No,
Ol Dvar Mitzvah.
And does anybody comment on Ol Dvar Mitzvah? Does anybody say anything on that?
You have to look down in the
because I don't know how he knows that.
You have to look
Ol
Dvar Mitzvah.
Is there another Mishnah Berurah flying around, or just this one? We only have one. Where does it say all the Tzarkei Mitzvah?
That was where you are, Yud Gimel.
No, I flipped up. It was.
Oh.
Tafresh Yud Gimel Sif Hei.
I was looking at Ta'anit to find because
you have to go back to Tafresh Yud Gimel Sif Hei.
Okay.